Hey, hey, everybody. We're just monkeying around, if that's okay to say that as well anymore. And this episode, if you don't know, that was a throwback to the 60s band called the Beatles, or the Monkees, who don't know what happened to them or why they were created. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff. I do a deep dive into Jordan Peterson. Because you'll see, you'll hear because why. I have some interesting thoughts on Jordan Peterson. Then after that, I jump into what do I think about Joe Rogan's move from YouTube to Spotify? And what does this mean for the future? Well, I'm gonna break it down for you, sort of. So listen up. You can check out my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. Support the show, buy my merch. You can go to YouTube, Taylor Space Stutch. You can go to Twitter, tstutch1. Instagram and Facebook, Taylor Radio. And that's it. Enjoy the show. All right, let's jump into it today. So, guys, I want to talk a little bit about Jordan Peterson. A little bit about Jordan Peterson. So I think he's an interesting character for sure. I started getting into some of his stuff. In fact, a lot of my earlier podcasts, there was a lot of things. I don't even know if they're still on here, but I used to talk about Jordan Peterson quite a bit, and he had quite an influence on some things in my life that helped me get things in order. Back, I'd say around the 2017, 2018 timeframe. And before I go in deeper to what I want to talk about, I'll just kind of lay that out here if anyone's curious. So I'm a big follower of Nassim Taleb. And when I say follower, I mean I read his books. I like to follow his commentary. I think his I love reading what he writes. And he has had some conflict with Jordan Peterson on statistical knowledge, and especially related to IQ. So Nassim Taleb called out Jordan Peterson really hard, really hardcore on the IQ and his understanding of statistics. And based on, listening to both of these guys, reading them both, what they have to say, I definitely trust Nassim Taleb more on the statistical framework and things. So I diverge from Peterson when he starts talking about things like IQ and statistics, depending on the type of statistics that he's talking about. But philosophically, they really don't differ a whole lot in some ways. But what I want to focus on more is some of the philosophical aspects of Jordan Peterson, some of the things that got me onto him, and then kind of how I think what he says, I think what he did the last few years really did have an impact, and I think we will see a resurgence of that impact. So a couple years ago, what really got me into him at first was some of his political stuff about the pronouns and things like that. Now, what got me, well, okay, a couple things that helped me that I took from him. Let's start there. A couple things that helped me was one about thinking more purposeful about your life. The reason I thought about this for this episode was because I'm flipping through my Instagram and he came up, and one of his videos he was talking about, basically getting your shit together and having some kind of getting your shit together and creating some kind of purpose life for yourself, taking on meaning, just moving in a positive direction and getting your life in order. And he was describing how he was describing from a psychological perspective. He was like, look, what would your life be like if you could, if your relationships were good, if your personal life was good, if your finances were good, if you had a meaningful job? Like, what does that look like? What does that look like to you? What are good familial relationships? What is a good financial situation? Basically, what, you know, create, what he's helping people do there, I think, is create a vision of what are, if things were just okay, what does it look like for things to just be okay in your life? And start there. And listening to that, it reignited the respect that I had for Jordan Peterson, which was his emphasis on those philosophical and those personal life points. And for me, that was what really, really drew me to him in certain things that he said. For example, when he talked about cleaning your room. Now, of course, cleaning your room, you know, you can take that with a grain of salt, because there are going to be very successful people in business and whatever that maybe don't clean their rooms, you know, or that they get a maid to come in and do it for them. But if you're not a dumbass and you take this advice for what it is, which is for some people, for even many people, I would venture to say, who are in a difficult spot in their lives. And when I say difficult spot, I mean, you know, you're in a self-imposed prison. That prison is, you know, you need to be making decisions you're not making. And it could be your personal relationships, your financial status. And when I say status, I don't mean compared to others, but your financial, like your just status, your current status. You know, like what's, are you having, are you in tons of debt? Are you, you know, living way beyond your means? These kinds of things. You know deep down if that applies to you. Now, I found myself in a situation, over 2 years ago now, where I recognized this. I was living in a situation where, you know, I was living with a family member, and the place we were in, we were living in a small apartment, and it was a pigsty. It was just a pigsty, and there was just shit everywhere. And I remember, you know, my girlfriend of 3 years had broken up with me that year. My financial situation was not good. And I was working a lot, and there just didn't seem to be a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. And I remember taking, you know, listening to Peterson. I said, you know what, man? I'm going to start there. I'm going to start cleaning my room. And so I did. I cleaned my room. And after cleaning my room, I started cleaning the apartment little by little. I started hitting little sections of the apartment until eventually it was much more manageable psychologically than it was before, you know? And what I mean by that is psychologically manageable, as in you walk into the place and you're not like, holy shit, where am I? Kind of the deal. So I worked really hard to, you know, don't get me wrong, my place wasn't spotless. There was a lot of shit in it. But in general, I was able to get it kind of cleaned up to a better state. And I took, you know, starting from there, I really did work hard to start to get my things in order. But it was a big deal for me to take that step, to take that leap of cleaning the room. And people might also, people have to stop. What helped me a lot was not just the fact that a room was cleaned, right? It wasn't just that. And some people are going to be able to relate with me on this. Some people may not. But action, the process and the action of doing something a lot of times can create the momentum to go on to the next action. And so for me, the idea of cleaning and having a clean thing, or like having things be cleaned at the end, yeah, that's cool, that's nice, whatever. But what was really good for me was the actual act of making a change. And I think that fundamentally, this is what helped me out. It probably appeals to other people as well. It's the fundamental act of making a physical change in your environment. Realizing like, hey, I wanted to be in a cleaner environment, and I did it. I took action to do it. Now, some people are OCD and they're clean freaks and they're like, dude, I just don't even understand how you could even, like, that's not even an accomplishment. I clean all the time. Well, okay. For people who don't have a disposition to have everything organized and cleaned, it is a big deal to take that step to move your environment and your surroundings in a way that makes it clean. That's a big damn deal. And so for me, it was also a big deal because I started, it helped me, and I'm very much a kind of self-starter person, but it helped me push harder on that path. It helped me get some traction of trying some things out. I'm really big into trying stuff out, you know, sometimes to my own detriment and spending a little too much money checking something out, trying something that may not work. but that idea of, hey, just put in some work, and once you start putting in the work, you'll feel different. As you're changing your environment, you start to feel different. Now, I think there's some wisdom within the idea that you should clean your room that goes far beyond what maybe some people can just explain. Like I said, how I was explaining my perspective, I think it probably affects other people differently. But that is some of the advice that when I think back to the Jordan Peterson, before Jordan Peterson had his breakdown and was on every TV show, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, I don't know, I don't want to speak too much on that, but those are some really practical things that I think people can't give him shit for. You know, I don't think people should be able to give him shit for that. Another thing was, you know, the other day, I don't know if it was on Instagram or what, but I saw another clip of Jordan Peterson. And it was a clip about how you can treat your partner. How you can, if you want your partner to do something, like your husband or wife or whatever, you know, if, I don't know. Nowadays, you can be in love with a trash can, so whatever the fuck that means. Whoever your partner is, instead of only reacting to negative things, act positively to things that you like. Create the incentive to do things that you like them to do. You can't just always react negatively. And don't get me wrong, this isn't some super deep philosophical, psychological strategy. This is some basic ass shit that most people totally overlook, including some past relationships I've been in, including friendships and parents. I've seen it everywhere. Most people do not focus on the positive things a lot of times because we take some of those things for granted. And also, we come to expect certain behaviors from people. And another issue is that, you know, sometimes people like conflict. Sometimes people are in a bad mood and they just want to start shit. And so when you go down that pathway of somebody that you know does something you don't like, it's real easy to pop off. And that probably speaks to the fact that in our society, a lot of people are kind of not happy with their situation. You know, a lot of people aren't super happy with their lives and their relationships and their jobs. So it's probably we're all set up. We all have our finger on the trigger to be negative first over positive. But that the way he put that, it was pre-famous Peterson. It was his YouTube videos of one of his lectures before he became famous. And he was just, you know, just discussing, hey, do something positive. Say something positive when your partner does something that you like. And he said, before you know it, your partner will be doing a lot more positive things. And it actually reminded me of something that I heard off of YMH, Your Mom's House, one of my favorite comedic podcasts. What's her name? Christina P. So if you don't know Your Mom's House, two comedians, Tom Segura, Christina Pajitsky. And it's really funny. But it's also super nasty and raunchy. And so if you're not into that kind of humor, you might not be into the podcast. But Christina P., his wife, Tom Segura's wife, was talking about how she said that she was manipulating him. She said this in the show. She goes, I've been really on top of taking care of him. You know, like, you know, just probably they probably were just having more sex and she was just more open to that kind of stuff. And she said that when she started doing that, being more proactive about everything, about all the sexual activity, that she noticed that he was like picking up more on the house chores and he was doing it more automatically. And if she would like ask him to do something, he was like a little bit quicker to do it, didn't put up as much resistance. And I think that's a good example of kind of like what Jordan Peterson was talking about. Now, he doesn't explicitly say, look, you need to have sex with your partner in order to get them to do things. But it's the idea of rewarding. And now you don't want to be like, oh, here's a treat for you. I mean, because that's demeaning unless somebody's into that. But the idea of like, hey, you know, provide incentive for people to work with you in your personal relationships, as opposed to only providing negative feedback like you would maybe an employee or a contractor. Another thing about Jordan Peterson that made me think about him recently was I recently made a podcast about the millennial dating scene, about how dysfunctional it has been, and how a lot of people give Peterson a lot of shit. I've never been in that camp of giving him a lot of shit, though I have kind of – I did take a step back when Taleb fired off some stuff at him about the IQ stuff. So, but I'll tell you what, one thing I think he did a good job on, and I would say, based on Taleb's own criteria, that to some degree, Peterson has some very, I think, strong philosophical knowledge, especially when it comes to hierarchies and stuff. But when he discussed, I would say about 2 or 3 years ago, he said that when hierarchies become dysfunctional, one thing that you see when hierarchies become dysfunctional, there's, you know, many different ways that can happen and they can kind of, you know, move in different directions. But he discussed how in certain societies or hierarchies that when a small amount of men are able to obtain a disproportionately large amount of partners, to the extent that it starts really affecting people downstream, like your average dude or your less than average dude, then you're going to see higher rates of violence in those societies. And, you know, it's so funny because we are seeing that now in the West. Like, we are seeing that now. And he predicted that a few years ago. He was saying, like, look, I mean, you know, these situations that we're seeing is we're seeing more, you know, as the social fabric declines, as things start to decline. I don't know why my voice just did that. But as we see a decline in traditional customs of marriage and courtship and everything, then and we see an increase in hookup culture. Well, a lot of times the women are going to go hook up with a smaller group of quote-unquote higher status guys, and that there's actually going to be a large amount of guys who are just going to be out of the club. Meanwhile, the women are also going to be dissatisfied because they aren't going to get the relationships with the men that they are sleeping with, right? Because you have one guy, he might be in a relationship with multiple women. He's not going to settle down with any of – he might settle down with one of those people. However, he's not going to settle down with all of them. He might have, you know, 5 or 10 women that he's talking to and getting with, but he might pick one of them later on down the line or two of them down the line. But the majority of those women will not get a partner, but they'll be thinking they're going to get a partner while they're on the rotation. Now, that's kind of a modern interpretation. But if you have enough guys that are able to do this and you have enough women that are – if you have enough men and women engaged in this behavior, then you have an excess supply of young men who aren't getting any attention, and it can lead to some negative outcomes in society like increased violence in general. And I would say that it looks to me like that we are seeing that. Just based on the fact that the term incel is thrown around so much, Don't get me wrong. I know just because the term is thrown around doesn't necessarily mean it's legitimately a big problem, because racism is thrown around a lot, but I don't think racism is as big a problem as those who use the term portray it as. But I would put forth the idea that based on some of the attacks that we do see, where it's like, you know, you go to the guy's profile and he's like railing against women, or there's more and more groups of men kind of getting together online, or I would say young men especially, where they're just groups of guys that game a lot on the internet. They're not getting any. There's a new term. There's a couple terms that have come out for men that are just obviously not getting any. One is called incel, which we know is involuntarily celibate. The other is a simp. So I learned about simp. I've been hearing it and seeing it online, but I wasn't exactly sure what it meant. And I was seeing it on that TikTok platform. Where was I seeing it? I was seeing it on Twitter before I saw it on TikTok. And I guess a simp, I don't remember exactly what it stands for. They talked about it on the H3H3 podcast. But a simp is somebody who, I guess it's basically kind of like a guy that exhibits stalking behavior, like Dr. Drew described, if you know who Dr. Drew is. Dr. Drew had described the modern day young male stalking behavior as a guy who's always ready. He's always there, right? Like, he's always trying to hang out with the girl that he can't. There's a girl that he can't go out with. Maybe she rejected him explicitly, or she's never going to give him a chance. But the guy's always at her beck and call. If she texts him, he responds. If she wants him to pick her up, he'll pick her up. Like, all this shit, right? That's a simp. But Dr. Drew also described that kind of behavior as stalking behavior. Like, because you're like always around the person, you're not going to get a you're waiting for the moment to strike, is the way he described it. And I think that's probably why he describes it as stalking, because guys are waiting for their moment to strike. Like, they think, oh, if I wash her car for 5 years, she'll dump her boyfriend, and then I'll jump in for the kill and get her, and she'll be mine. And I think that's what he means by the stalking behavior. But those people are kind of being described as simps as well. The way simps are being described, though, separately from like stalking kind of shit, is just like if a girl, say for example, you hit up a girl and you're like, hey, you know, you're trying to talk to them, then they ignore you for like a month, and then they hit you back up again. If you are all over that, like, hey, what's up? Hey, let's get together. And then she ignores you again, and every time she ignores you and texts you back, you jump all over it. You're a simp. That's the best way I could describe it. I'm learning here. All right, I'm learning here. But anyway, with this, and don't get me wrong, I don't think simps are necessarily violent, and incels don't necessarily have to be violent, but there does seem to be a growing amount of dissatisfaction among guys, among guys that are younger and aren't getting any. And I wonder. But, you know, at the same time, though, let me back up and let me be a little more honest as well. How much of that is the media overhyping it, you know? So how much is the media overhyping this quote-unquote incel violence, and how much is it actually a threat, right? That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's something we need to watch for. Some people are going to say, ah, he's a rich dude, he doesn't need any more money. But let's be frank. No, I think that I'm pretty honest in my perception of Joe Rogan, which is I don't see Joe Rogan as a intellectual giant. I don't see Joe Rogan as a, as a moral compass for the rest of society. What I do see Joe Rogan as is a courageous individual. I think he has taken a lot of risks with the size. You know, a lot of people don't understand. I think a lot of people that give Rogan shit don't understand maybe the size and scope of his reach in his podcast, and the fact that he also has a family. So he's got to, he legitimately has to be kind of careful about what he does and says, in some respect, right? In the fact that, you know, he doesn't want his family to lose their livelihood and stuff like that. I understand that. But the guests that he's had on, you know, he's had Alex Jones on multiple times. He's had very controversial people on multiple times. And he's left, right, everything. So one, I would say he's pretty damn courageous in that he's had lots of different voices come on his podcast. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, he doesn't puss out on occasion. Maybe he does. But the other thing is this. I cannot talk shit about Rogan simply for the fact, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I'll talk shit about him, but I can't, like, degrade his podcast or what he does. Also on the fact that I have learned and been introduced to so many knowledgeable, other knowledgeable people as well. And it's like, look, even though sometimes I hate his guests or I totally disagree with what they say, I'll skip it. And then I'll later on go and I'll watch another episode of something else. But I have, you know, he had Rhonda Patrick on a week or two ago talk about the importance of vitamin D in COVID-19. And he's just had so many interesting people on that have helped me improve my life. And I can't be mad at that. You know, I can't be mad at the fact, or I can't permanently trash talk somebody who has brought on and introduced me to so many interesting people that I read and listen to now because of what they said on Rogan. For example, you know, Ben Greenfield. I'm a big fan of Ben Greenfield when it comes to fitness and supplements and nutrition. And I, you know, because of Ben Greenfield, I ended up getting on some supplements that are, I found out about a company called Thorne, which has like some super high rated supplements, you know, because when you go to Walmart or Costco, or like if you go to Walmart or Amazon, you can get your vitamins. But like if you do a deep dive into, you know, where the vitamin materials are sourced from and everything, you might find that you're getting lower quality product. So, you know, by listening to Joe Rogan, getting on and listening to Ben Greenfield, I find some high-end nutritional supplements. You know, you listen to Rhonda Patrick, you'll also learn all kinds of other different information. You get all kinds of shit listening to Rogan. So I love his show. Now, another thing I want to say is, aside from that I'm a big fan of his show, even if sometimes I hate the show, they hate the guest on the show, good for him. Good for him for making this deal. Now, what I want to know, and I think what everyone's anxious to see, what does this mean for competition with YouTube, and what does it mean for freedom of speech? Because this is the real question of our time, currently. You know, YouTube is really fumbling the ball. I understand that they got to have some regulation, right? You know, like legitimately, you don't want to have people uploading child pornography on your platform. I get that. You know, legitimately, you don't want to have people being doxxed on your platform. I get that. That kind of information, that kind of stuff. That being said, we all know that conservative voices and non-mainstream voices are being kicked off of YouTube all the time. They're being censored. If you don't believe me, you know, just listen to. So anyway, I want to go ahead and pivot to another topic. So Joe Rogan announced recently that he is going to Shopify to Spotify exclusively for his podcast. He mentioned that he'll still have clips on YouTube. I think it happens later this year, 2020. But he's going to be doing his video podcast on Spotify, and he's making maybe over $100 million, and it's fantastic. It's fantastic. So first I'll give you my initial reaction, which is I think it's great for Joe Rogan. You know, I know some people are going to be envious. You can listen to the H3 podcast, and you will find You know, Ethan Klein often has talked about the issues with YouTube. I recently heard from their podcast that YouTube has been not just demonetizing videos, but they have been blocking certain videos based off of, I don't know what kind of criteria. There's people that I follow on Twitter that are not these radical crazies, like somebody like a Gad Saad or others who have videos that are constantly being flagged and taken down. And Rogan talked about how he had many videos being taken down. And it's, YouTube is becoming a toxic environment. And additionally, lately, people have been pointing out that on YouTube, the Chinese have been demonstrating their foothold or their control over YouTube by, you know, I've seen multiple people have been talking about online how their comments and their videos are getting deleted when they talk about certain aspects of the Chinese Communist Party. And that's a whole nother topic that I would like to dive into more. About the CCP control over various aspects of world society and how deep and how much they actually control in the world. It's actually quite frightening. And just focus back on that topic of freedom of speech. I would like to see if Spotify, if that move, will we see more creators moving on to Spotify. See, that's something I think we got to kind of look for. Will Spotify become a challenger to YouTube? That is yet to be known. It is yet to be known if that will become the next move. There are other platforms out there like BitChute, Vimeo, something that Cernovich always pitches is Rofkin. And I don't think that Rofkin is ever going to make it. Call me stupid, call me retarded, if you will, but I went on Rofkin and it was not that easy to figure out. Like, I was trying to sign up and I couldn't sign up and I had to jump through all these hoops to get in. And I was like, fuck this, man. I just want to watch stuff or sign up and watch stuff. I don't want to have to go through all these hoops. So there are limited competitors to YouTube. Not a lot of serious competitors out there yet. So there's a lot that remains to be seen, but it would be encouraging to see. Now, just because there might be another alternative to YouTube becoming more popular or available doesn't necessarily mean that it will be good. Just because if Spotify ends up putting out a strong video presence and people start flocking to Spotify, it doesn't mean that the people that control Spotify are also not crazy liberal tards. So we'll have to see about that. But anyway, that's, you know, we'll have to just watch and see what happens. We are in the middle of a world game-changing shift in so many ways. I'm sure many people already saw this. I don't know how you can be sitting back right now in this pandemic and this whole age of craziness and not be seeing and feeling the shift that is occurring. So that's all I got for today. You can visit my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. Got a great shirt up. Go buy it. Support the channel. Support the show. You can also find a link to the shirt below on YouTube. You can visit me on Instagram, Taylor Radio. On Facebook, Taylor Radio. You can find me on Twitter, tstuch1. You can, I think that's it. YouTube, Taylor Space Stuch. Like and subscribe. I want monetization on YouTube. So that's it, guys. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.